I look at these things, this is for those, why would anyone no longer want to continue in the goodness of God? Do you think that anybody who no longer is continuing in the goodness of God is even going to read this stuff? They're going to read through this and go, oh, look at that. That's me. They're not going to do that. And I understand that. And I know some people will be offended by it. I don't mean to. These are just some things that, one of the reasons people quit this thing is because I probably didn't teach it right, confused them or something over the years that we've done this. I wish I knew this. What else can you say? I guess I wish I'd have known all this stuff before I stepped into a pulpit. But then I think at that time it would have been such a shock that it would have just died right there that weekend. Probably wouldn't have even been told to come back. So, you just do this stuff as you learn it, and I have an opportunity to teach it and preach it online, and there it is for anybody who wants to do it. I hope I can do it till the day I keel over and die. Because the money's great. I shouldn't say that. Some of you folks out there help a lot, and it does help. And it honestly really does. Okay. We couldn't be doing this without it, honestly. So, I did think of the thing this morning that I wanted to say, and I couldn't think of what it was, the lost world. Three things for the lost world. What's the big no for? Oh, coffee bar shuts down. Yep. The lost world is blind. They don't see what's going on. People who say they're Christians, modern Christianity, whatever they're following out there, they're deceived. And the Paul people, who I believe understand rightly dividing and understand the truth, are cowards. Because we don't do anything with the truth that we know we have other than for our own personal assurance. So that's what I thought of. The lost world is blind, the Christians are deceived, and Paul followers are cowards. How's that? That word coward really, really hurts, really hits hard. And I looked at myself in so many ways as I probably should put in there lazy, coward, too busy, maybe burnt out, or maybe just tired of it all. But you read through Paul's stuff and you see more and more. I'm not even as excited about Paul. Even this is going to sound bad. Even the risen Savior aspect. I mean, I'm glad he rose, and that's marvelous stuff. But I'm excited that this book has it the way it has it. This Bible has it the way it has it, and it's what it is, and how it's designed, and how so many miss a simple thing in the Bible. So, anyway, and I'm not arrogantly bragging about myself. Whatever. It's just, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to figure out what rightly dividing is. And in fact, those that are biblical scholars tend to miss it because, again, they're deceived. So, with that said, let's go on. If I remember correctly, which I usually don't, we just finished this morning on the list here of be not partakers. If anybody has notes, am I right with that? I think that's where we left it off at. And we have to remember now tonight, we're going through why it is that people would tend to leave what Paul teaches about the risen Savior in this day and age. And we know that some people are living a good, proper Paul manner of life. They're trying, they're learning, and they're growing. And we all got room to grow. We always do. We're trying to make those changes in a world that's very difficult. And we all do love this present world more than we probably would like to admit. And then we got into one of these. One of the points was, well, here, let's just review the whole thing here so far. We went through another Jesus is a possible reason. Not all Paul followers were sincere, got caught up with mid-acts and stuff. Some people still need their religion. Some people are tired of doing right. They forsake Paul because they love the present world more than the risen Savior. That was number 5. Number 6, they love the truth of all things being lawful, but they ignore the strings attached. They consider themselves not worthy because that's how a Jew felt. They have to do something. God can't just wipe the slate clean. Come on. Yes, He can. And then we got, that was number 7. The number 8 was hatred and rejection of personal persecution. Then we broke that thing down into points where the things that Paul tells us to avoid, if we do these things, we will be persecuted one way or the other. And the list was, number 1, avoid, 2, from such withdraw, number 3, not strive, Number 4, neither give heed. Number 5, purge the old leaven and the wood and the earth from our lives. Reject, be not partakers. That was number 7. And like I say, there's scriptures and scriptures and scriptures, and they're not twisted and rested, as they say in the tribulation, as they will say, as Peter says. It's just, there they are. Number 8, part 5 is number 8. And Mark, you're going to like this one because it says to mark them. Now, does that mean we send them all a picture of Mark and have them wear it? Or what do we do here? Romans 16:17. And you know, none of you ever say anything about, am I going too fast to find the scriptures, or too slow, or whatever. Now, tonight, if you'd had your socks on or whatever, you would know that you could have printed off the notes for tonight, so you should be able to follow pretty well here. I'm not going to deviate from them hardly at all, Bunny Trailers, because this is just plain and simple. So Romans 16:17, going too slow? What? I'm going too slow? Are you taking notes? Anyway, here we go. And again, this is all stuff we've heard. This is all stuff we've heard before. Number 8, mark them. Okay, now who do we mark? Well, and look, I used to be faster, but I'm not sure anybody got anything out of it either. Plus, I was younger. Voice was sounding younger, higher. You know, played the piano, we sang. And it was in front of people. And, you know, I miss all that. I really do. Okay, here we go. Romans 16:17. Now we beseech your brethren, mark them. Okay, who do we mark? Those that cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's the same verse we used for avoid them. But we're supposed to mark them. Who's that? That cause divisions. Again, it's not the people that don't believe the Paul thing necessarily. It's those that cause divisions and offenses. And it's contrary to what Paul teaches. We avoid them. How are we going to avoid them? We mark them. Now, Philippians 3:17 tells us to mark somebody as well. This is a hard one to mark. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, that's Paul, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. So we're supposed to find those guys that understand rightly dividing to some point. They'll probably be weak in the faith because most people aren't taught anything anymore. But there might be some good people out there following Mark, and we're not the only ones. I realize that. But it says to mark them, which walk so what? Following Paul. So we get out the spiritual magic marker, and we mark those that are cause divisions and offenses against Paul. And we mark those who do follow Paul. Now, think about it. Who are you going to mark that's causing offenses and divisions? Well, anytime anybody writes to you, they got this anger bit on them or something. I don't know. Who's causing the problem with the Paul stuff? Well, it comes to the point. Remember all the stuff we said. You pray, and there's going to be tears, and you love, and you have mercy, and you have grace. And yet someday it comes where you've got to rebuke and reprove. And someday you've got to do what you have to do. So it isn't just a sudden rejection as such. Then you got those tough ones where you give them 2 shots at it and you walk away because you're not going to get anywhere with them anyway. We have to remember all of Paul has to be taken in, not just one verse. One verse can make you sound like you're supposed to be a wimp. You know, strive not, meek. Okay, you can look at that as being a mealy-mouthed little whimper little guy that doesn't say anything. Well, Paul doesn't say that. But you got to understand all of what Paul teaches, all the manner of life to put it together and to change your life. And lots of times we change some things too soon or too hard. We're too rude. We burn a bunch of bridges and probably because some of us have the Ruckman stuff in our system still. Hard to get rid of that stuff, actually. But anyway, let's get back to this thing. We mark the ones that cause offenses and divisions and offenses. And we mark those that walk so, and that says Paul. So that was a quick one. Number 9. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. So we mark them, good mark or bad mark. And then 2 Thessalonians says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Okay, in other words, realize that he doesn't follow. And now we get a little closer. Any man obey not our word by this epistle. Now, he doesn't necessarily have to cause divisions and offenses, but he also is not obeying what it is that Paul preaches. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Okay? It's the same as marking him really in lots of ways. Then it says, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Unfortunately, we are the ones that are ashamed. We find ourselves being convinced by our friends that we are the goons here. We are the odd ones. We are the ones that have no love. And we find ourselves being ashamed because now we have no friends. Or we lost another friend. Who are you going to lose this week? So we find ourselves being ashamed. And are we supposed to be ashamed of Christ? No. Are we also supposed to be ashamed of Paul? No. It's in Romans. So, I think that we've all figured out by now that if we follow these things that we've been going through today, these avoids and withdraw from, and if we follow those, we will be persecuted. We will have few, if any, friends, unless they're Paul people. Well, how many of us have Paul people in the same... I call them Paul people. How many of us have Paul people in the same town? Same neighborhood? How many can go fellowship with a Paul person? And again, how many of you want to go fellowship with a Paul person? Because how many Paul people have quit? They may still go to that church. They may still say they're Paul people, but mark them. How do you mark them? Look at what they're wearing. Look at how they talk. Look what they do for entertainment. Look what they drink. Look what they eat. Look where they go. Tons of stuff that we still can't walk with them. Now, that thing in 2 Thessalonians... I'll just point this out. I know you know this. I'm going to point it out anyway. Sit up straight, okay, instead of slumping. That's a good idea. I was talking to myself, not to you out there, if anybody was slumping. How did he know I was slumping? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, there's a key word in there. Look at verse 13. If you got it open there. It says, brethren, verse 6, withdraw yourselves from every brother. Verse 15, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother, because he is a brother. We are talking here about the people that actually say they follow Paul. But they're walking disorderly. They're causing offenses and divisions. They're behaving disorderly. I can think I already said that. Those are the ones that we're still supposed to note them, note it, see it, realize it. Realizing your brain that, wait, that person says they're a Paul person, but they're not doing their stuff. Not that you're being judgmental, but I'm telling you, I've seen it, and I see it, and I will always see it, that if we don't do these things, and avoid and withdraw and have no comfort, etc., etc., the leaven will eventually take us down with it. We will be bewitched by hanging around these people, whether it be family or friends or workers or whatever, if you're not strong enough. I'm strong enough, and remember, Paul and Proverbs warn about thinking you can stand lest you fall. So that takes us back, I think it was number 2, that how many Paul people are very sincere about trying to be a Paul person? By following Paul's doctrine, he says, and his manner of life. It's just your day-to-day way you live. You don't turn on Paul and turn off Paul and turn on Paul. You're supposed to live that, and that includes having a joy and a peace. Even the way the world is going, even if you lose your job, it's hard. I've been there. So many times I've been there. Scary. Your health. I'm getting into that department. It's tough stuff. But if our manner of life is such, we will be persecuted for it because you'll have to say, well, I really can't go to this thing, but I need to. And I heard and I read something today in a Western or whatever the thing was, and this guy said, people will do what they want to do. They will not do what they have to do. And I'm guilty. We're all guilty of that. We do. We get out of this stuff because we want to. Because we don't want to do these other things. And some things in our day-to-day life may not be pleasant to us, et cetera, et cetera. But some things we have to do. I've never been good at that. I'm from the rebellious age, the 60s. And nobody's going to make me do anything. Well, some things we just have to do. And do we have to do Paul? No. But if you're going to be a Paul person, yeah, these are the things we have to do to have that manner of life to please God. Okay, enough of that. Number 10, another quick one. Are we going to be short tonight? No, I got tons of stuff here. 10. See, same verse, 2 Thessalonians 3:14. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. There's that verse again. This point is pointing out the fact that we are to have no company with him. You know what have no company means? Have no company. What do you say when somebody comes over? Oh, we're having company. What do you do when you go to somebody's place? You're being their company. So we're not to have company with these people that obey not this Paul stuff. I know there's those that have little faith, or those that are growing and learning. There are those, you know. Again, you've got to take all of Paul and put it together. We can justify doing anything. And I hear it. I know some folks that are just, I mean, they're king and queen of justifying. They can give you a reason why they did what they did or are going to do what they do. They're very good at it. I mean, it's just I chuckle anymore when I knew you could justify that. You always can. We're good at that. Some things we just have to do. And some things we don't have to do, but we choose to do them anyway because we like it. It's we enjoy that. It's wrong. Or it's going to cause someone to stumble. It's not edifying. It's not expedient. It's got a power over you. If you go to the thing, it might put a power over you and cause somebody to stumble if they see you there. And the last one is, I never can spit those out at one shot. Occasion for the flesh. There you go. You know why you went to that? Occasion for flesh. I enjoyed it. I wanted to go to it. I wanted to do this. I wanted to wear that. I just wanted to. Back off. You get that kind of stuff all the time. We all do it. Just don't forget, in verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians, it says, admonish him as a brother, but don't count him as an enemy. Some of these people are not our enemies, and I have treated them like such. But then there does come a time where you have to step aside because they will become your enemy. That's tough stuff. Okay, number 11. Now this one still floors me. 1 Corinthians 5:13. I'm going to look at it again. We're going to read through it again. I read through this thing 1,000,000,000 times, which I think that's a billion, I'm not sure. 1 Corinthians 5:13, but let's go up to verse 9. And this word fornicator doesn't always have to just mean sexual fornication. Okay? We should know that by now. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Okay? Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners. There's that. I did a sermon, the pastors are extortioners. Or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. So the world is what the world is. In order to escape the pollutions of the world, as they'll have to do in the tribulation, Paul says, you can't. Because if you want to, you're going to have to go out of the world. Then he said, we understand that. We still have to work with them. We just do. We can't get out of that. Verse 11. Here's a thought. Don't give up your Christianity when you have to work out in that world. Companies have policies that actually take away your Christianity testimony. Don't let that happen. We have as much legal right to our Christian testimony as any Hindu, Islamic demands they put on the counties and the committees and the bosses. And they get their work time off, they get their little prayer sessions, they get everything they ask for because they believe what they believe. And if we really believed what we believe, and really believed it, we would not let the workforce and the rules they have in these stores knock down our testimony or our Christianity. It's becoming against the law to act like a Christian and to believe like a Christian in the workplace. Don't let that happen to you, because it does. We still have that freedom. Like I said, the lost world is blind. They don't get it. Christians out there deceived into thinking what they think. But us Paul guys, we're just cowards to stand for what we believe on. Why? Because we're going to be persecuted when we do. That's bottom line. So he says back here in verse 11, this is where just really, you got to really just read. Somebody correct me if I got this wrong. But now, he says, I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, that's the so-called Christian as such, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, well, there's one to underline, or an extortioner, pastors again, will such an one know not to eat? That'll bring you persecution, guaranteed, if you follow that. Here's his reasons. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? It's like without the family, within the family. But them that are without, that's the lost world, God judgeth. Okay, so the lost world, what are we to judge the lost world? They're lost. They're going to hell. They're going to the lake of fire. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Who's that wicked person? Is it them that are without God? Them that are without? Because God judges them. And he's talking about being together with a brother or not a brother. And he says you can't get away from those that are not brothers, that are fornicating, covetous, extortioners, idolaters. Then he adds more in verse 11, a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, which pretty much covers everybody somewhere in there. And he says that one who's a brother, that's the wicked person. That's the one we're supposed to stay away from. Isn't that amazing? So they say Paul is just all grace. No, Paul is not just all grace. There are times that we have to make some decisions about who we're around or what's going on, and that's why Paul says if anybody wants to live godly, which is what this would be, you will suffer persecution. So are you sincere or are you playing a game? Is your life not in your control? That may be the case. But don't use it as an excuse, because maybe sometimes you can stand for what's right, and you need to. Okay, so put away from yourselves that wicked person. Pretty tough stuff. Okay, now this put away, is there's three different things that I found that we should put away. One is put away that wicked person. Two, 1 Corinthians 13:11. Childish things. Well, we could go down a list of childish things. Maybe I should for a sermon sometime. Being wild, being silly, because Paul even says not to revel, not to party hardy, not to be loud, that's children. When they listen to kids play, they scream everything they do. Why do they scream? Like, because they're a child. They get mad easily, they cry easily, they walk away because they didn't like the bat or whatever, the rule. Or you just go down the list. What's childish? Whatever it was that Paul was talking about, he put it away. He says 1 Corinthians 13:11, which is right after 10, the great verse about, has to be the King James Bible. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Well, listen up, children, speak, I understood as a child, and they don't understand. And yet, I tell you what, our schools and parents are making kids think that they understand everything. We tell them everything. We give them reasons why. You can give them the best reason in the world, the truthful reason for a change, and they still won't get it. They're kids. They just have to obey and listen and trust and follow. But anyway, but when I became a man, Paul says, I put away childish things. Then you tie that into Ephesians 4:13. The reason for these pastors and teachers, etc., and the local church, the family, the body of Christ as such, in that body, that we henceforth be no more children. Okay, now here's a description of a child, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what an adult child is. He doesn't know what he believes, but he says what but he doesn't know what he believes. Anything can combine, he can jump on the bandwagon. I think a bunch of children went into the mid-acts and the hyper crowd, because they didn't know, they just carried about whoever talked to him about it, and they sounded intelligent, and they've got a Bible degree. By the sleight of men, they tricked you. And cunning craftiness, they did it on purpose. And they're lying in wait to deceive. And if you're a sucker into that stuff, then you're just a child. We need to grow up as Paul Christians and look at his manner of life and do what we can to make that work. All the time we're going to be doing that, we're going to be persecuted. All the time we're going to be doing that, we're going to be fighting our very own flesh. And I'm preaching to myself, not just everybody, myself included. And like I said, I don't expect anybody who's wavering or has already wavered or has stumbled or has slipped or whatever is even going to get this far in this preaching series anyway. It's just there for us to prevent us from maybe being one of the quitters. And then the third thing here, and this is tough, Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice even. I mean, get serious about this thing. Be tough with it. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Put that away. That's where people will see that we're a Christian, a real Christian. That's serious. Gives us a chance to talk about Paul. How can you be that way when life is, well, Christ will take care of it. Oh, you're one of those rapture nuts? No. But the Bible does talk about a rapture. But this guy was really messed up and he was off the wall, rightly dividing he didn't do. And there you go. Maybe you have a chance to talk to somebody. Probably not. Anyway. So childish things. That wicked person amongst the brethren. And bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Put that stuff away. Number 12. How are we doing for time? Okay, not bad. 12. Cast off. And this is not talking about fishing. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. I'll give you a minute to get there. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Now that doesn't necessarily mean a person, does it? The works of darkness. The work of the lost world, what the lost world does. Now if you're not careful, you can't do anything at all. You can't go to a ball game, you can't... Well, look at, if you take your kids or you go to a ball game, are you mad enough to ignore the music? You got half the people are drunk at the ball game. Especially the bat, they just let their music fly in the hockey games. And they really do spoil it for a Christian, a sincere Christian. Because remember, we can still grieve the Holy Spirit. We can still quench by doing this stuff. Man, you're just taking all the fun out of being a Christian. Well, all the flesh fun, we do the best we can. Now, here's why the grace is so important. Because if we mess up, anybody messed up? Sure you have. Why did you mess up? Read Romans 7. And then get up and keep going again. We just... bury ourselves in self-pity and pity parties, and we messed up, and we shouldn't have messed up. Our flesh won again. We feed it all the time with TV and friends and family and entertainment and parties and clothes that makes you feel cooler and hotter or I don't know. You just go down the list in Timothy and Titus. We want out of that stuff. Our flesh wants out of that stuff. So this cast off the works of darkness. We shouldn't be doing anymore what we used to do when we were lost if that thing we were doing as a lost person was really of the darkness. Now, there's good things in this world that we can still do. Okay? You can watch a video, for example, or a DVD or whatever they got nowadays. Just remember, you're going to waste about 2.5 hours. You're going to get subliminally taught some things you don't want to be taught. You're going to be a testimony to somebody else that they can do the same thing. You've got people that have left the video addiction, and then you invite them over to watch another video or TV program or whatever. You've got people that 10 years ago didn't believe what they now believe about perversions, where they get it from. TV, entertainment, evil communications, magazines. Should you not read magazine? Well, sure you can read a magazine. Just remember what you're getting into. You're going to be looking at pictures that have pornography in that picture, and you're not going to recognize it, and it's going to affect your mind. I mean, the list goes on. We really just have to get out of here, don't we? The world is so wicked right now. You know, I like to watch old documentaries of the war era and stuff like that. And all the time you see the Catholic priest doing the lost, the rites, you know, for this guy, and they're confessing their sins to this guy. I mean, you're laying on the Omaha beach, and your guts are down by your feet, and your head is missing your haircut, and you're going to remember all your sins to confess them all of a sudden to the priest who's, you know, bumping his chest back and forth and fingering his up his nose and all that kind of thing, banking his forehead. What a thing. What a thing. And yet, that was headed someplace. And now, today, we can look back at those years and we can see where the deception was. We can watch a Leave It to Beaver program and we can be entertained, but I can't because I see where I was deceived and taught. You know, the lying of Eddie Haskell. Beave, you know, talking like a dweeb to his parents, and I'll talk to his parents all the time. Dad, who never lifted a finger to that kid ever, and Mom, who gets up in the middle of the night to wipe up dog stuff on the floor, and she's got her hair fixed, and she's wearing this nice dress. You know, she walks into the kitchen and just goes, pinky, almost like Bewitched, wiggles her nose, and dinner's done. But Wally's not home yet, but he'll be home eventually. What's he doing? I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing good, whatever it is. This is just baloney. You watch Dagwood, and who's the mom? Blondie. And makes Dagwood just look like a total worthless guy. It's on TV years and years ago. You watch a Jack Benny movie. There's sexual innuendos in that thing all over the place. Today, they don't sexually innuend it. They just state it. But it was still going on way back then. So, what are the works of darkness today? Well, if you can get past the deceiving of the subtle stuff, it's still there. And we don't cast that stuff off. We don't. Well, we're living in this world. We have to do something. That's right. Paul says we can't escape the pollutions of this stuff. But boy, can you imagine the tribulation, how tough it's going to be? Because they have to actually, I like this verse. You hear me, I say it all the time. We actually have to, they will have to, not we. They will have to actually escape the pollutions of this world. You know how hard that's going to be? Well, hey, it's going to be just as hard as not buying anything or trying to buy something without the number. Those are going to be people that say, well, I guess if I'm wrong, I'll go through the tribulation. I'll know what to do. Right. Then you're going to try to follow Paul, and you're going to claim God's grace, and you're going to be so wrong. Not you. I mean, they're going to be so wrong. And if they're going to be a Christian during the tribulation, oh, what they're going to have to do is just beyond. Well, that's why God gives them the Spirit of God where? Upon their flesh. The Spirit of God is going to have to control this flesh. We don't have the Spirit of God controlling our flesh. We control our flesh. We need the Spirit of God to help us, but the Spirit of God does not come upon our flesh. Anyway, I'm getting off the track here. Getting kind of preachy, I guess. But we somehow need to have the guts and quit being cowards about casting off the works of darkness. Well, we'll just have to go to church then. You know what's going on in church after church after church? More and more works of darkness. Look at the music that's coming into those churches. Look what people are wearing. Look at what the fellowship is around. Look at what they do together. Look at the movies they go together. It's just so irritating. No wonder lost people look at what's going on in the churches. They may be blind, but you know what? They're not blind to the hypocrisy and the lies of modern Christianity. But if they get caught up into it, they're deceived, and they try to be this good Christian because they think they have to be the good Christian to get God's information. So they're deceived. And along come these Paul guys that they've got the truth. They rightly divide the Bible. They know what Paul tells us to do to please God. I mean, all the stuff that takes place. And what are we? We're too chicken to do anything about it in our life. We're cowards to fight up for it. We're cowards to stand up for it. You know, you can tell your boss in a nice way that some things, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian, I don't do that. And if they get so, I'm just a thought here, if they get so radical about it, they can be sued just like the Muslims do. I remember years and years, back in the earlier days, when sports was a big thing around my circle there at the church there, and girls sports, which I still despise because it destroys girls. It just destroys them for their future years. They enjoy it, but it hurts them even physically. You can talk to some of the ladies that have been in sports before, and they will tell you how much it actually hurts their physical womeny? What's it called? Womenhood? You know, it actually hurts them in their later years. And it destroys marriages because they become aggressive and add that. The list goes on. That the Seventh-day Adventist, Seventh-day, I call them Seventh-day disadvantage, and now I can't even think what they are. Seventh-day Adventist, there we go. They would fight the legal courts that none of their games, any schools they play, but they play on Saturday. Well, okay, so they're wrong. But they still stood for what they believed. We don't do that anymore. Well, Paul does tell us not to strive. Paul tells us not to attack and go on this rampage that street preachers are doing and Ruckman guys are doing, and not to be that way. But Paul still tells us, let's just avoid those situations. They're going to cause trouble. But if you avoid or withdraw or don't partake or cast off, there's where your persecution comes in. If we do the wrong thing in this world, God is not going to get us. So we can get away with it. We got to keep thinking judgment seat of Christ, which I'll talk about Wednesday night. So let's not be cowards about the works of darkness. Number 13. Well, that went on for a while, didn't it? Number 13. Same thing. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship. Okay, who do we not have fellowship with? Okay, Ephesians 5:11, I'm sorry, 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There it is again. But it's even worse. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful, and we're having fellowship with the works, not just the people, the works of darkness. But then it says, but rather reprove them. Don't just say no. We are supposed to respond back with reproof. Do we ever do that? You know what some of you do? I know some of you people out there. I know what some of you people do. When somebody asks you why you won't do this or why you can't do this or why you won't wear this, whatever, you don't have you're a coward. We don't have the guts to tell them that we don't believe it's right according to God's word. The scriptures say. They think you're a nutcase. This rapture guy did nothing but just make Christianity look foolish again. But, you know, why do you dress modestly? Well, I'm fat. No. And that shouldn't be a reason for dressing modestly, by the way. Your reason should be dressing modestly is because I'm a Christian and this is what I believe. I should please as God. Come on, have the guts to say that. Why don't you go to this thing? Everybody else is. Yeah, but I don't want to go. Well, why don't you want to go? Well, you wonder wanting me to tell you why? You know, get that little thing going. And then tell them. I really shouldn't go to that, whatever reason. But if you just say stuff like, well, let's see, I think I'm busy that night. When I was a kid, huge coward, and I didn't want to do something with somebody, I would say to my mom and dad, I would say, you don't want me to go out with Leroy tonight, do you? No, tell the kid, well, daddy won't let me. Well, come on, give me a better reason than that. It's not the right thing to do. It's wrong. I don't do that. I don't want to be seen doing that. I don't want to have the potential of somebody seeing me. You know, we can come up with some truthful things, but we're cowards. We all are. And thanks to the media, they made us feel like we're worthless and everybody has rule. Everybody, what's the word? Everybody has respect and everybody has the love given to them. In religions, all the different religions, we're supposed to love and accept and everything. But when it comes to the King James guys, well, even they're getting pretty worldly. But even the Paul guys, well, you can find a worldly Paul, but you get involved with the hypers, and you can still do all the stuff everybody's doing because you've got God's grace. Get involved with the mid-acts. All you got to care about is when the church began. Who cares what you wear? Who cares who's running the church? Who cares what your music's like? But you get into a sincere Paul guy, and you're going to have to tell them why you don't listen to that kind of music, why you don't play that kind of music, why you don't go and do this stuff that they're doing. And who's going to suffer? They're not going to suffer. They don't miss you. They might say they do. But you're the one that's going to suffer if you go, and you're going to be the one that suffers if you don't go. Isn't it just a joy to be a Christian? We just want out of here. But we're supposed to want to see him, not just want out of here. The crown of righteousness is because we want to see him, not escape. So anyway, be gutsy. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Let's see, that's Ephesians. And Ephesians is a marvelous book. But it's got that verse in there. Oh, what's that have to do in there for? And cast off the works of darkness in Romans? Why does he have to say that? Well, let's finish off here with 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. And we'll see if all else fails, here's what we're supposed to do. But see, if we don't like any of this other stuff, here's what we choose to do. Are we forced or do we choose? And that is being delivered unto Satan. And how do you be delivered unto Satan? Demas. Who's the god of this world? Satan. How do you get delivered unto Satan? You go back to the world. You love this present world. And he says in 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Okay? Thought. What are the blaspheming ways for a man? Is to be a jerk at work. 1 Timothy 6 talks about that. What about a lady? To get out of the home. There are a couple of things about blaspheming the Word of God. So, what are we doing? The whole world has caused truth and Christianities, not yet, caused truth and Christianity to go back to the world. The people that quit this stuff, this is a tough thing to say, have gone, theoretically or technically, back to Satan. And their flesh gets destroyed. How does their flesh get destroyed? Well, they think they're going to get it together, and what happens? They find out they can't. The world's got to just beat them up. When somebody says, my son has gone to the world, I'll pray for him. You know, God is not after that guy. The girl. God isn't going to go after them. The devil's going to have to beat them up. I said this a long time ago, so I'm not coming up with this now. This is for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What if it's a saved person? I figure somebody would ask that someday. Well, his flesh still has to be destroyed. My flesh has to be destroyed. What do I want to do? Okay, go out and do it. I wish you hadn't done it. After a while, you suffer because of what you did. You reap what you sow. Well, you hurt your flesh. My flesh needed to be bashed. And the blaspheming thing, do a study and blaspheme. Blaspheming, and we can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost to lose our salvation, kind of a thing. But anyway, when this is all said and done, people are choosing to go back to the world, love this present world. That's actually going back to Satan because he's the god of this world. That's what they're choosing to do. Now, if they make it this long and through this series, that'll irritate them right there. And I don't mean to. That's just how serious this stuff is. So, it's a lot of stuff. But just like Paul says, you're going to suffer persecution if you try to do the right thing. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Ask me the question. I'll bring it up. We can talk about it Wednesday night. And don't be such a coward. We're not deceived, and we're not blind. We have blindness and we have deception tricking us, but we have the truth. Everybody else has it. I mean, there are a lot of people with the truth, and that isn't just us. But those that have the rightly divided truth, let's be courageous with it. Let's be strong with it. Let's not hide. If the time comes up to say something to somebody, say it. Talk about it. Don't be afraid. Just be careful. Make sure it's at the right place at the right time and you say the right thing. Don't go out there and try to light some fires and not have a fire extinguisher with you, just in case it gets out of hand. Okay, there you go for the night.